The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show, Q&A edition, where we do our best to answer your questions that you've sent in, mostly via email through our website, jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. You can always go to the long version, theretirementandiraShow.com, but that's kind of long, so you understand now why we hand out jimhelps.com, or chrishelps.com will get you to the same spot.
Yeah, but it's a longer word.
It's slightly longer. Two letters more?
Hey, that's... When you short on time, yeah. Those two letters.
So, yeah, Jim Helps. There you go.
Done.
And so most of the questions we get through there, you can send them snail mail if you'd like.
But
I don't know what kind of questions we have today. Probably Social Security. And
we got a little bit of everything, but before we go to it, I do have to do some housekeeping as well. Hmm. We mentioned this on this week's EDU show, but I'm going to mention it again on the Q&A show. And that is, Chris and I are looking to update the logo for the podcast. The logo we have now says the Retirement and IRA Show, and it's in a little voice box like you would see on a cartoon. And that has served us well for however many years we've been on iTunes, a very, very long time. But it's looking a little bit dated, and I wanted to have a fresher logo that captures what Chris and I look like. So Joe, not Tax Joe, but Marketing Joe, another woman who works here, she ran the gauntlet, so to speak, and put a new logo together. And she thought, this would be a great thing. Let's have people vote on which logo they like the best.
So she's narrowed it to two. You have two choices.
Two. I thought it was three choices, though.
No, there's two choices. And then she says none, but we don't want you to choose that choice.
I don't like either of them is your third choice. And if you choose that, it means this can't come to an end.
You're throwing away your vote if you do that.
Because it means Joe has to go back to the drawing table, Marketing Joe has to go back to the drawing table, no pun intended, and create yet another logo or two to vote on. So please vote. Joe put this together herself, and I'm very proud and happy. And I would like our listeners to vote, make her happy. But do not vote for none of the above, because as the person who pays Joe's salary, I would like to actually pay her to do other things than design logos. You jokingly call option three the keep Joe...
The job security
job
option.
Security option for Joe. But hopefully you'll like one or two, and you'll find one of the new logos good. They fit feature pictures of Chris and I. So you will actually get to see us as well.
And you can find that vote if you go to either of the websites, jimhelps.com. You'll have to scroll to the bottom, click on the podcast icon at the bottom. You'll see it. It's the old logo. That'll take you to our site dedicated to the podcast itself. And right there on the left-hand side, there'll be a link to that vote. Or you can go directly to theretirementandirashow.com, that big long one that is very descriptive but really hard to type without misspelling, and then it sends you to nowhere. So jimhelps.com is the safest.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
First question.
Social Security.
Perfect. Hopefully it's something I can answer.
From a Texan. Mm-hmm. I was married to my spouse for just 4.5 years, and he recently passed away. I'm only 36, so I may remarry down the road. But I'm wondering how that will affect claiming my first spouse's Social Security. I have heard conflicting things from Social Security as to if I can remarry or not. I have heard as long as I am not married by age 57, or maybe it's 58, I can't remember, I can still collect his benefits. But I've also heard that I cannot remarry anytime, period, if I want to collect my deceased spouse benefits. So can I remarry as long as I divorce? Oh, so can I remarry as long as I divorce by age 57, or is it 58? So I guess she's thinking, as a 36-year-old, can she get married and just get rid of the guy at 57 or 58? Or do I need to remain single until then so I can collect my deceased spouse's benefits? I thought this is fairly straightforward and easy.
It
she
is.
Just needs a little bit of clarity.
There's kind of two steps to this involved. First, just so everyone knows, you qualify for a survivor's benefit. That's different than a spousal benefit. Spousal benefits were when your spouse is still alive. A survivor benefit is the benefit when your spouse has passed away. You qualify for a survivor benefit once you've been married to that person for 9 months, or immediately if they were killed in an accident. That a lot of people don't realize that piece. You can, there is an out. You can possibly qualify even if you haven't been married to them for 9 months. But once you're married for 9 months, you now are eligible to receive a survivor benefit. Once you reach 60 or 50 if you're disabled. So there's, you know, a few things. She's 36, so that's not the case here. And I said she. This is the wife was married.
Yeah,
okay,
it's
anyway.
A she.
Anyway, so the 36-year-old. So the 4.5 years, definitely she is eligible for a survivor benefit. She's got a little confusion over remarriage, though. You are eligible to receive a survivor benefit on that deceased spouse's record as long as you do not remarry prior to age 60. Not sure where 57 or 58 comes from. It's definitely not that. It's age 60. So the day or week after you turn 60, you can remarry, and it'll have no effect on your ability to file a survivor benefit on your husband that passed away when you were all the way back at 36. Now, she proposed, well, maybe I don't want to wait until 60. I'm only 36 years old. What if I want to get married before that without jeopardizing that? There is a slight out. If she were to marry now and then get divorced after or before age 60, she then would retain the option of filing a survivor benefit on her first husband. Or actually, if the second husband passes away, she can pick and choose, which is surprising to a lot of people.
And that's part of her strategy, which was to marry and then divorce before 57 or 58,
right.
But it's actually before 60.
It's before 60.
And then remarry the guy after 60.
There are some rules on multiple marriages to the same person. And since
opened
up that can of worms, I'd have to go refresh my memory on that. So I'm not going to answer that one right now. But there are some continuation of marriage timing issues in certain cases that I'd...
Before I comment on that, right.
I'm not going to.
Well, that would make sense because they're probably looking to avoid people who do exactly that.
Now, you probably don't need to do it that way necessarily, getting re-divorced, because you'll be entitled to a spousal benefit while your second husband is still alive once you're past 60. And once that person passes away, you'll actually have the ability to claim a survivor benefit on either record, whichever one is better. So the only thing you won't be able to do is be married to a spouse who's living that you married before 60, and then suddenly go back and claim the survivor benefit from the original spouse. That would shut that off. That's why people are choosing to remain unmarried until 60, which she's planning really far ahead. She's assuming she's not going to marry someone with a more attractive Social Security benefit 24 years from now. So that's this might be worry about nothing. But the key for her is it's age 60. I certainly wouldn't recommend, I guess this is more of me being a counselor or a therapist, I'm not going to make marriage decisions over the next 24 years based on some potential Social Security benefit. That's just me, though. I think the potential for a better Social Security benefit from your next spouse is just as good as this other spouse. So anyway, seems like a far-reaching plan. But to clarify the rules, technically you cannot be remarried prior to 60 if you want to be able to claim that survivor benefit on this spouse that passed away when you were 36.
But once you hit 60, she can marry.
She can marry immediately after that and still just say, no, I don't want the spousal benefit from my new spouse. I still want to claim that survivor benefit from my deceased spouse from 25 years ago. You could do that if you waited until after 60 to claim, or I mean to marry, to remarry. But not the 57 or 58, like she said, 60.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is another email from no idea where. It was sent from Windows 10.
Oh.
I don't know why they all do that. Apple does that, sent from my iPhone.
Yeah, Windows. They put that as the default signature for advertising.
Ah, okay.
They just know some people aren't ever going to change it.
And I'm not sure if she's asking me or you, because it begins simply with, hi, I have a question for you. I'm getting 40% of my ex-husband's 401k from our divorce. Mm-hmm. There is about $110,000 in it. What should I do to be able to make the money? What should I do to be able to make the most money and have it be secure at the same time?
Wow, isn't that a loaded question?
Yeah, I know. I'm 49 and would like to retire in 15 years. I'm thinking maybe an annuity. Any and all ideas are welcome. So let me reread that, because I had a problem reading it just now for some odd reason. She wrote it correctly. I think it's because it's getting late in the day. My mind's just ready to shut down. I'm getting 40% of my ex-husband's 401k from our divorce. There is about $110,000 in it. What should I do to be able to make the most money and have it be secure? I'm 49 and would like to retire in 15 years. I am thinking of an annuity.
It's kind of like saying, what can I do to make something as hot as possible while keeping it cold? I mean, it's not quite that extreme, but it's a similar, you've got two disparate goals.
I would say it's like, having a cake and wanting to eat it too.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah, I came up with that saying.
Really?
Yeah, it's
just
all mine.
Just now, on the fly?
Just now, just
nice.
Now. Congratulations. Never heard it before.
I'll write that down in case people want to use that again.
Yeah, what you're running into here, listener, we're not trying to pick on your question. It's a very valid question. It's also a question that I can't say because I don't know enough about your situation. First thing I want to point out, you are 49. What you are receiving when you receive a breakup of a 401k is called a quadro. Q-D-R-O. It's pronounced quadro, but it stands for Qualified Domestic Relation Order. Mm-hmm. The unique thing with a quadro, listener, Is any money withdrawn from a 401k that was passed to you by a quadro order is exempt from the 10% early withdrawal penalty. You're only 49. Any money withdrawn from your retirement account before the age of 59 and a half, another 10 years, will be subject to a 10% early withdrawal penalty.
Normally. From a 401k. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to buy an annuity, I can guarantee you there's not one inside the 401k, so that means you're going to move the money. If the current advisor you're working with, or if you're not working with a current advisor, if they're just fixated on the $110,000, they're just trying to sell you a product. Oh, move the money to me. Keep it in an IRA. It's not taxable. I'll put you in this annuity. It will protect your principal. So the first thing I would want you to find out or ask yourself, do you need or think you will need any or all of this money over the next 10 years? Why 10 years? Once you're 59 and a half, the 10% early withdrawal penalty goes bye-bye.
Right. So to summarize, because I had a little trouble following Jim there too, just to clarify, maybe it's because I was tired. Let me just clarify, and then just in case it wasn't just me.
Huh.
Leaving it in the 401k, she has access to the money without the 10% penalty. If she rolls it out into an IRA, it's going to immediately subject to a 10% early withdrawal penalty.
I didn't put that part in.
I just wanted to clarify that part in there.
That's where I was going with the annuity. If you move the money to an annuity, it's going to have to be inside an IRA because it's not going to be in the 401k.
Which if you're absolutely convinced because you have other resources, you're not going to need it, then maybe this isn't an issue. But this is something to remember. You're going to give up the ability to access that money penalty-free once you move it out of that 401k. You were granted that special immunity from the 10% early withdrawal penalty because you received it via the quadro in the divorce. So just keep that in the mind. You should always
at which point
consider everything.
If you're going to leave it in the 401k, it's not an all-or-nothing proposition.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you might need half or would like access to half, even if you don't know if you're going to need it, leave half in the quadro 401k, put the other half in an IRA. Whether or not the annuity is appropriate, we haven't gotten to that yet. But only the money in the 401k is exempt from the 10% early withdrawal penalty under quadro rules. So I would be very careful before moving that 401k. If you leave the 401k there, you indicated you're thinking of an annuity for principal protection. You didn't say to us you're looking to maximize future income. You said you were looking, as you said, what should I do to be able to make the most money and have it be secure? In other words, you're looking for principal protection with some growth, even though I smiled when she listed the growth first and the principal protection second. I want growth, but I want it to be safe. Most of the time, you get the safety and then a little bit of interest. It's hard to get both. So you could, if you leave it at the 401k, though, use what is called their stable value offering if they have it. If you are still dead against putting that money at risk and you're only 49, I would hope you have another decade or 15 years or even 20 years before you need access to this money because you have a job and you're working. So with what could be a very long time, I would be hesitant to put it in a principal protected annuity to begin with, but even more so, I would be hesitant to leave it in the 401k in the stable value offering because they don't pay very much, but you will not lose your principal on the stable value offering.
Oh, but you're going to give up a lot of potential
growth.
Inflation protection, things, you know, so you might feel like you're not losing anything, but you may not keep up. And you're giving up the potential, again, without knowing the rest of your situation, just like Jim, just things to consider. You're essentially saying, because I'm demanding this principal protection, this security, I want to not expect any kind of what most people consider moderate to high returns. It's you're just having to give that up in order to get the security. It's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, so that was one aspect of it. Now, let's just say you don't care about saving the 10% early withdrawal penalty. Your 401k does not have a good stable value fund, or the one that it does offer has very low interest, so you want to move it. You also want principal protection. So be very careful with the type of annuity you buy if you were to go that route. And I'm not convinced you need it. If you buy a variable annuity, that will not have principal protection. There will be some variable annuities that will offer to absorb some of the downside loss, and in exchange, they're going to limit some of the upside potential.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Well, it sounds familiar, right? If you want to protect yourself from the downside, you give up upside potential.
Yes.
That's how all these vehicles work.
So there are some variable annuities that will do that, but they don't fully protect 100% of your principal. The other thing to bear in mind with variable annuities, they're a little bit of overkill inside an IRA to begin with. Because if they're not going to offer you the principal protection you want, annuities are really used. They're an insurance product. They are not an investment. A variable annuity allows you to take that $110,000 and invest it in with investment options inside the annuity. But the purchase of the annuity itself, you bought an insurance contract. You didn't buy a pure investment. But it's not going to guarantee your principal. Yeah, I'm not going to go down. I was going to go down another hole, but it would make this for a very long show, and I know we can't do that. The other thing you can buy an annuity for is principal protection, which is what you have indicated. So if the variable annuity is not going to give you principal protection, then you buy it as a tax wrapper. But the problem is your IRA already has a tax wrapper. Already has a low-cost tax wrapper, probably, depending on where you set it up. You don't need another tax wrapper, Chris, to allow that variable annuity, the sub-accounts inside them, they're not true mutual funds, they look like a fund, but they're called sub-accounts, to let those sub-accounts rise and fall without having to pay taxes on rebalancing and interest and dividends. But you get that benefit already, Chris, inside the IRA. So I don't think a variable annuity is going to be appropriate for you. If you're looking for growth, you certainly don't need a variable annuity. If you're looking for principal protection, the variable annuity isn't going to give it to you. So it means you would want some type of fixed annuity. And I'm not convinced at age 49 you really need that. Maybe what you need instead is a better understanding of your investments, a goal for those investments, an understanding of when you're going to need them, and maybe a more appropriate asset allocation. But that said, if you still want the protections of the annuity, the principal protection of the annuity, you don't want the 10% free withdrawal, or the exemption from the 10% rather penalty. So you want the money out of the 401k, or because that 401k is somehow associated with your husband, your ex-husband, you just want anything to do with it, you want it the hell out of there, I would be a little hesitant to say a variable annuity is your answer. You may want to look at a fixed annuity and recognize the embedded interest rates are going to be quite low, relatively speaking, on a fixed annuity. But the fixed annuity will give you one thing that you did ask for. And you didn't really say peace of mind, but I'll use it secure. As peace of mind. Mm-hmm. You said secure. The fixed annuity, unlike a variable annuity, will protect 100% of your principal. The upside interest they're going to give you is going to be limited, though. Most fixed annuities now, depending on the way they're structured, are going to pay 3 to 5% on average. That's their game. That's what they're shooting for, their aim rather, not their game. That's their aim that they're shooting at over the next decade or so, about 3 to 5%. That's more than you will probably get right now in most, if not all, stable value offerings, but it's not a tremendous amount of money, potential amount of money. But if that makes you feel good, if you like the fact you know it's protected, if you actually have a plan in place, and part of that plan, Chris, is I want to grow my principal protected money, what we call bucket two, I want to protect it because I may use it to subsidize some spending and I want to make sure it's there in a down market, then yes, an annuity could be, a principal protected annuity could be an appropriate vehicle for you, hands down. I won't dispute that. But just before you go out and buy it, make sure it fits into your whole situation. Make sure you understand the pros and the cons and the limitations of it. I could make a case for it, but I could make a case against it. I just don't have enough info. I wanted to give her a little bit of food for thought, though.
Yeah, perfect.
No more questions. It's 5 o'clock our time. It is Tuesday afternoon. We usually do this on a Monday, I think. Do we do this on a Monday or
usually
Tuesday? All right. But Monday was a holiday, and the EDU show for this week went long. Chris Hint went wicked, wicked long on that one. He just, yep. But you'll see. Me, I was pithy, as I usually am. Mm-hmm. I would have had that EDU show done in 20 minutes, but instead it took
over
an hour.
You terrible.
Did. It was horrendous. But that makes this week's Q&A show a little bit short. I apologize for that. But we do encourage your questions. We like your questions. You can send them to jim@jimhelps.com. That's jim@jimhelps.com. Or visit our website, which is jimhelps.com. Click on the Contact Us button, and you can send us an email. If you want to, as Chris says, send it to him as well. He likes to see him. So you're at chris@jimhelps, right?
Yeah.
So you can CC Chris, or better yet, it's even easier, you go to our website, jimhelps.com, click on the Contact Us button on the home page, send the email through that little email link, and it goes to both of us.
Perfect.
That way Chris can see the question ahead of time too. But we do have to wrap up. Do remember, we are living, breathing, practicing financial planners located in the state of Colorado, but we work with people throughout the United States. We do this Q&A show more as a service. So if you have any questions, send them to us. But if you're always wondering if we could help you, if you could benefit from true retirement planners, we plan first. That's what we do. And unique to our firm, you can hire us to actually, I know this sounds like a archaic concept, Chris, you don't have to pay us to manage your assets in order to work with us. You simply can hire us to help you do retirement planning, and we will quote you flat prices whenever possible, tell you how much it'll be to help you as you plan your retirement, and you can continue to manage your own assets, yet still benefit from advice that's not being predicated on trying to sell you any investments.
Perfect. So we'll catch everybody next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's jim@jimhelps.com or call 970-530-0556.
Investors should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of investment company products carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the investment company. Prospectuses may be obtained from your advisor and should be read in full. All guarantees are backed by the claims-paying ability of the issuing insurer. Withdrawals and death benefits are subject to income tax. If withdrawals and other distributions are received prior to age 59 and a half, a 10% penalty may apply. Shares when redeemed may be worth more or less than the original cost.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.